Today's reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. The vine and the branches. These are the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. He prunes, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, that you love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to talk about Jesus saying, I am the vine, in just a minute. But before I do, I just want to briefly say, the news this week has made me really sad. The Bible is really clear from beginning to end about how important it is to welcome the stranger and care for the outcast, and look after the most vulnerable among us. And it's clear in policy that has come from our government this week that that's not always their priority. And as Christians, I think we need to speak out when these things come across. I would encourage you to pray for our government, for wisdom and compassion pray for people who are fleeing war and persecution, and find themselves trying to get into our country any way that they can. Pray that voices of dissent wouldn't be silenced, and that we wouldn't be frightened of voices of dissent either. I think that's enough on that. I'm going to talk about Jesus saying, "I am the vine." I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judea, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel and the people of Judah. They are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. In the day of the Lord, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no harm may come to it. I am not angry. If only there were briars and thorns confronting me, I would march against them in battle. I would set them all on fire. Or else let them come to me for refuge. Let them make peace with me. Yes, let them make peace with me. In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. God spoke to his people through his prophets and compared them to vines growing in a vineyard. 700 years later, Jesus came to Jerusalem and said, "I am the true vine." It's easy when we read passages like the one before us today to skip ahead at what the passage says about us, right? To think about what it means for us to be branches and for us to bear fruit. And we will get to that this morning. But before we skip straight ahead to that, if we do that, we will miss out. We will miss out on something that Jesus is saying about himself. We'll miss out on learning a little more about the one we follow. We've been looking at these I am sayings of Jesus over the past couple of months, and each of those sayings does two things. It tells us something profound about who Jesus is. And it also tells us something about our relationship with him. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," and we learned that he is the one who provides for our needs according to his ways, not our desires. And we learned that being in a relationship with him means being shaped by him and his purposes. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," and we learned that Jesus' purpose on earth was to defeat the darkness, to set us free. We learned that being followers of Jesus means representing him, shining his light into this world. Jesus says, I am the door or gate. And we learn that Jesus is the one who sets the standard for entry into his kingdom. He is the one who decides who can draw near to the Father and who cannot. And we learn that it is his desire for everyone to draw near, that he calls us, cares for us, and protects us. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And we learned that he came to lead, that he came willingly to give his very life for those who would follow. We learned that our calling is to follow, to submit, to be loved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we learned that Jesus was the one who would tear down barriers between God and creation, that he would forge a new way for us to have an intimate relationship with God. And we learn that the privilege of drawing close to the creator of the universe should impact every aspect of our lives and all of our other relationships. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And we learn that Jesus has power over death and life. And that having a relationship with him means that we can look forward to something better that is to come. And there you go, you needn't have come to any of the services over the last couple of months. I've summed them up for you. Next week, we will do something a little different. We're going to celebrate communion together, and there will be an opportunity for anyone who wants to share. If God has been speaking to you, if there is something he has done for you, if there is some word of encouragement, there will be space for you to come and share it with the whole church family. And I'd encourage you to be thinking and praying this week about if there is something God would like you to share with us all then. But back to today. Today we have this final I am saying. Jesus says, I am the vine. So what does it mean? What does this tell us about Jesus? We heard those two poems that I started with from Isaiah. The first, from Isaiah 5, describes God's people as a vineyard, which though carefully planted and looked after, ends up yielding bad fruit. It speaks of God's people turning from his ways and the consequences that would come to them. They would experience war, invasion, death. It takes us back to what God's people were supposed to be, what the nation of Israel was supposed to achieve. They were to be his representatives. The nation was supposed to be a slice of God's kingdom, a place of justice, righteousness, peace, and mercy. People were supposed to look at the kingdom of Israel and say, oh, so that's what the creator of the universe is like. But like so many before and so many of us since, Israel chose its own way rather than God's. He looked for justice but saw bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress. But there is hope. There is coming a day of the Lord where tears will be wiped away, evil slain, the humble lifted up. And in that day there will be a fruitful vineyard, watched over and watered so that eventually all the world will be filled with fruit. Jesus is claiming to be the vine in that vineyard. The first time he says it, our Bible says the true vine. I am the true vine. The things of the past, the leaders of the past have proved themselves false. The ways of the past have proved themselves unable to produce good fruit. And the way for the vineyard to be fruitful, the way for God's people to live as he intended, for them to be a blessing to the whole world, is in and through Jesus. Jesus is to be the center, the stem, the vine, the place from which we get sustenance and guidance and hope. One of our values here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church is to be Christ-centered. And that's what it means for Jesus to be the true vine, him at the center. All the branches come from him and lead back to him. All the branches sustained by him. Any fruit that is born is only because of the connection to Jesus, the vine. If he is the center, all is for him and all comes from him. Jesus is claiming here, as he says, I am the vine, he is claiming to be the solution. If God's people put him at the center, if they are in him and he in them, they will bear good fruit. They will live as God created them to live, and they will be good representatives of God to creation. And then Jesus goes on to liken the Father to a gardener or a vine dresser. So as I'm sure you know, for the best fruit to grow, plants need to be tended. Branches that are using up energy but producing little fruit need to be cut off so that others can grow more and be more fruitful. And even fruitful branches need to be maintained, pruned, shaped to keep them fruitful. In our passage this morning in verse 2, it says that God prunes every branch that does bear fruit to make it even more fruitful. That word prunes can also be translated as cleans, and then it links to the next verse where Jesus says to his disciples, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That process of pruning or cleaning to make more fruitful comes straight from the word of Christ. This is what God does with us. These few words remind us that Father God is not distant and disinterested. Because we have a living, intimate relationship with him, he is at work in us, shaping us for his glory. And now, and only now that we have thought about what the passage tells us about Jesus, God the Son, and God the Father too, we can begin to think about what it has to say about us. And it says a lot about what it means for us to follow Jesus. For us to live as fruitful people of God, we need to be shaped. We need to be pruned. Every one of us needs to change. For us to live for the Father's glory, we need to allow him to prune us. I wonder what parts of your life need to change. What parts need to be cut back so that fruit can grow? I wonder what work God is doing in you right now. One of my lecturers at college had the habit of asking us this question. What are you and God working on right now? I hate this question. What are you and God working on right now? Think about that for a moment. Because God always wants to be working on something, either with us or in us or both. Either with us or in us or both. What are you and God working on right now? I wonder how he might be seeking to prune you, to prune our church. It's often easier for us to look at other people and work out where they need pruning, right? Sort of look around the church and think, well, that person talks too much, or they never clear up after themselves, or whatever it might be. I know exactly how God needs to deal with my partner, the person I live with. He needs to teach them patience. So impatient. Maybe we're not so good at... That was not directed at anyone in particular. Not at all. I wonder if we just generally sort of carry on as we are, thinking that we're mostly all right. If someone asks us the question, are you perfect, we'll say, well, no, of course not. But we're not really that interested in changing to become a bit more perfect, because, you know, that's hard work. I wonder how God might be seeking change you to work in your life. Because all this talk of vines and gardeners, of pruning and cleaning, all of it is geared towards our fruitfulness. Jesus wants his followers to bear good fruit. But what does it mean for us to be fruitful? You've all got your pumpkin seed that you're going to leave church with this morning. And if you do the right thing with that seed, and by the right thing, I don't mean leave it in your purse and forget about it until September when I say, let's see your pumpkins. I mean, take it away and plant it at some point over the next 6 weeks or so, I guess, and tend it and watch it grow. If you do that, you will grow a pumpkin, hopefully. What you're not going to grow is potatoes or marrows or bananas, because pumpkins grow from pumpkin seeds. Apples grow on apple trees, and bananas come from the supermarket. And equally, if you have a tree or a bush or something and it's got a disease, it's not going to grow good fruit. In our last home, we had an apple tree and a pear tree in the garden. And 1 year, I took all of the fruit from those trees and I made some cider. And some of our church members couldn't quite get their heads around the fact that they'd come to our house at Christmas and I was offering them mulled cider that I had made from the fruit of the manse garden, but there it was. Some of them were quite upset, I think. And the next year, though, I could not do the same thing. The following year, I couldn't do it because the pear tree got a disease, and the only fruit that it produced from then on was black and shriveled and horrible. Eventually, the disease spread to the apple tree, too. The key is that the kind of fruit you get is completely dependent on what's going on with the plant itself, right? What type of plant it is and how healthy it is. As people, this is true for us too. The fruit of our lives is how we live. The fruit in our lives is the type of relationships we have with other people. And the way we live and the nature of our relationships is entirely dependent on what is going on inside of us. If our relationships are all rotten, it is because we have allowed something rotten to grow within us. If we are not living godly lives, it's because we are rooted somewhere other than in Christ. Our fruit, our outward actions, the way we live and behave and interact with others, all comes from what is within. So how then can we make sure we produce good fruit? It is simple, really. Jesus tells us. He says, remain in me as I remain in you. The New Testament is full of teaching about what it means to be in Jesus or for him to be in us. It means to follow his ways, to heed his ways, to trust him. It means to listen to and obey his words, his commands. It means to love with the same self-sacrificial love that he had for us. In the image of the vine, if we are grafted to Jesus, if we seek him for our sustenance, if we are Christ-centered, if our lives flow from him, we will be set free from sin and have life. We will bear good fruit. We will be the good vineyard of justice and righteousness and peace, that vineyard that God wanted his people to be. The trick is to center ourselves on Jesus and to allow him to work in us and through us, to meditate on his word and keep his commands, to be Christ-centered through and through. In Galatians, Paul writes a bit about what a fruitful life looks like, what God's people are like when they are in him and he in them. He says that if Jesus is your centre, if you are set free by Jesus and Holy Spirit powered, you'll be loving, joyful, peaceable, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. The fruit of a branch rooted in Jesus, the fruit of a life centered in Christ, is to be like him, which is exactly as God designed us to be, living lives that glorify him. You do not produce good fruit by trying hard to produce good fruit. If you are not rooted in Christ, it doesn't matter how hard you try to be loving and peaceful and show his justice. You will end up exhausted and failing. The only way to bear good fruit is to be centered in, rooted in Christ and his word. When Jesus is claiming to be the vine in John 15, he goes on to describe what the fruitful life looks like. The fruit of the true vine is love. To belong to Jesus, to be Jesus-rooted, Jesus-centered, Spirit-powered, Father-pruned, is to be loving. Sometimes love seems like an easy answer to us, right? The old joke is that if someone asks you a question in church, in Sunday school, you put your hand up, the answer is usually love or Jesus. Very occasionally it's a donkey. It feels like an easy answer. And the way our society looks at love, they've turned it into a wishy-washy feeling, something that comes and goes. But true love is the most powerful thing in the universe. There's a reason cliches become cliches. It was the Father's love for us that sent Jesus to earth. It was the Son's love for us that took him to the cross. It is the Spirit's loving presence that enables us to love. Love has defeated death. It has brought light to darkness and hope to the hopeless. Love has transformed lives and set people free from sin. Love is not wishy-washy and weak, but incredibly powerful. And it is this sort of powerful, transforming love that we are called to show as people of God. To love each other in a way that changes lives. To love each other in a way that changes lives. That's not just a feeling or something that we say to someone that we really like. It is a way of living that transforms the lives of others. To love each other in a way that shines light to darkness. To love each other in a way that sets people free and brings life. This is what it means for Jesus to be the true vine and for us to be the branches. For us to love with the powerful love of God. And that fruit of love, it does not grow on its own. Seeds need to be planted, tended, watered, trained, pruned, and maintained. That pumpkin seed is not going to win our competition if you just leave it in your pocket. You have to do something with it. And to be fruitful followers of Jesus doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen by trying hard to be fruitful. It happens when we center ourselves in Jesus, when we allow the Father to prune and shape us, when we listen to the words and commands of our Lord and put them into practice. If we as God's people can get this right, then that image in Isaiah 27 of the whole world filled with good fruit will come to pass. We will see a world filled with the love of Christ. And so I ask you again, What are you and God working on right now? How is he shaping you, changing you, pruning you? What is it that he wants to do in your life? What is it he wants to do through you? This morning, do you need to once again put your whole life into the hands of Jesus so that rooted in him, you might live as you were made to live? A life of love through which the whole world can see the likeness of our Father. Let me pray. Father God, I praise and thank you that you have loved us with your all-powerful love that sets us free and brings life, that shines light into darkness. And I pray today that you would speak to each one of us here, that you would show us how you want to be at work in us and through us. That you would begin even now to be shaping us to be more like Christ. That you would be guiding us as to how we can love with your all-powerful love. So that in this place, as we gather together, the name of Jesus would be glorified. And when we go out from these doors into the places that you will take us, the world will see that all-powerful love of God through each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.